Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. We are on in the Sunbury Motors Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, welcome to the show. It's the last show of the week. It's Friday before the AFC and NFC Championship games on Sunday. One of the things that, you know, we haven't really talked about, or I haven't really talked about on here, is the PIAA this week kind of had their hearings for the competition or the teams that might have to move up because they, you know, between the transfers and the competitive balance rule. And I don't know if you saw it or not, Aliquippa and Steelton both have to move up. Aliquippa, I do kind of have a problem with the Aliquippa one. I get it with having to move up because of their success and things like that, but they are, I believe they're a Class A school that opted to play up to 3A, and now they're going to be all the way up to 5A. But the thing that I'm taking away from this is right now there's a lot of blame coming to the Columbia County area because Southern Columbia is not moving up. And, you know, it's not from the schools now, you know. I think if you've followed this stuff for long enough, you know the PIAA's opinion on it. I mean, Melissa Mertz has now moved on to another job, but she's even in that Southern Columbia documentary, you know, flat out saying that she believes that they should move up out of Class 2A, and now it's gone to the Senate. The PIAA Oversight Committee, two members have said after the Aliquippa to Steelton decision that they are going to investigate. They didn't want to use the word investigate, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to look into some of the PIAA's practices. It seems like they're going to look at their, awarding the state championship football games to Cumberland Valley instead of staying in Hershey, and just some of where the money's going. Mm-hmm. And if you've read in our paper, you know, we've kind of had a problem with them as well, trying to get Freedom of Information Act stuff from them because they don't believe that they're part of this, that they're a state entity, and they don't really have to account for some of their accounting practices. But that goes beyond my point that I was making here. But there was something that the co-chairman of the PIAA Oversight Committee, Rob Matzey, said in two separate newspaper articles this week that I wanted to address a little bit. And let me get it here so I don't say it. Exactly.
I'm just
wrong.
Listening along.
So. All right. I heard
I'm
you
just,
there.
I'm just listening along. No, I'm just listening along. I feel like we're in the movie Animal House. You're on a roll. Don't
I'm on
stop
a roll.
Em.
I feel like Cotrillo. Democratic State Rep Rob Matzey, and this is from an article from the Greensburg Tribune, whose district includes Aliquippa, said Southern Columbia has a co-op agreement with a county vocational school that allows those students to play for the traditional high school and not count in the classifications counting, and called it a loophole around the PIAA transfer rules. And, you know, that's not how it works at all, and I'm a little surprised that, you know, nobody's pushed back on him about this. Columbia County is a little different because they have the Columbia Montour Votech, where in eighth grade that you have to, I think it's Southern, Central, Danville, Benton, some of the other upper Columbia County schools, you select in eighth grade if you're taking vocational education, then you go to a totally separate school for 4 years and you play sports there. If you go to Schick or Salem's Grove schools around here, it's a one-year thing your senior year of high school. And I guess it doesn't surprise me, but it is a little stunning to me that they don't just have a fundamental understanding of how high school sports works in Pennsylvania, and then they're going to investigate, you know, the PIAA and how things work. Now, I say stuff like this, and people think I'm pro PIAA, and I'm neither pro nor con. I think there's some serious problems in high school sports. You know, the non-boundary stuff has to get solved. I think it's more of a problem in basketball and football than it is in the rest of the sports, and I think that's why it gets a overabundance of attention, is people are more concerned about basketball and football. But I just, there has to be more knowledge coming out, you know, more knowledge going into this investigation than I think these people have is what is concerning to me about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm stunned. I mean, what? You don't think people are putting enough depth of research into it? Then they have an opinion? Shocking.
Well, I guess this is even going to be a more shocking statement. I guess I expect a little more out of our representatives than that, but...
Okay. What, did you wake up this morning, take crazy pills? You all right?
No, actually, I think I got too much sleep. I didn't have to get up for... my wife was home, so I didn't have to get up and get the daughter off to school, so...
Ah, there we go. All right. There are too many topics out there where... There's an old saying that we've had, and that's why you'll hear me use the expression. How often do you hear me use the expression, you know, the view from 30,000 feet?
A lot.
Right. But why do I use the expression? Because that means I don't have enough inside information. I'm only doing it as an overall observation. If I have more information to operate with, I have a source, or I've seen it for myself, I don't ever use that expression. Ever. Okay? Like when I said, I know Caleb was a Caleb day, but a couple weeks ago when I said, look, the Chargers are in play and it's real for Jim Harbaugh. Well, I had two sources that were great sources that told me that was the deal. Well, okay. So I said it. Right? So I wasn't coming in from left field, 30,000 feet, anything like that. But any time I use the expression from 30,000 feet, that means either A, I haven't been on the inside of it and can't give you perspective on it. It's just my general observation of what I'm seeing, and that's my way of being fair. Too many times we're getting, whether it's politicians... Or, in some cases, this is a Western Pennsylvania reporter, right? Right? Doing a 30,000-foot observation on something. And guess who doesn't benefit from that? The reader.
And there's a conversation to be had about this, because you know Aliquippa has their reasons why some of these kids are transferred. Some of it's sociological, and another school is Steelton, and some of their reason is sociological. And to be honest, the rule's not set up for that. And by the letter of the rule, they have to move up. But and you know that's something that will have to be addressed. But I don't know if you know the way these. Again, the way these senators or the state senators are approaching it is the right way either.
Well, they're playing to the crowd. At least that's the impression I get.
Well,
play to the constituency, play to the crowd. Look, I'm upset just like you are. It's like, look, just first of all, let's start with this part. I'm a big proponent of staying in your lane.
No.
Okay? That's why I always say that, like, let's just take our business. So we'll keep politics out of it, all right, to stay safe here. Okay? Well, no, we'll take our business. News people should not do sports. Sports people should not do news. You don't know enough. Okay? I mean, I watch the news, observe the news, things like that, but I can't sit here and do a news program. I'm not connected enough to do it. Sports program? No, I'm connected. Okay, so I can do something like that, and the audience in the end benefits, right, because you can. But if I were to do a news program, I'd be like anybody else sitting at the bar giving observations about what I think and why I think it. You know, I'm not an economics expert, anything like that. Well, that's one of the problems that you have with something like this. For some words, I will defer to you on the PIAA. You're exponentially more connected than I am. That's why I let you roll for a while. Plus, I didn't have to say anything for 10 minutes. But that's why. Because you're connected, you're around it, you know the people who are involved, and so forth. One of the problems on the political side of it, I said news people shouldn't do sports people shouldn't do news. Well, it's the same thing with this. This is not their area of expertise. Okay? It's not their area of expertise. You know, if I need a bill and a budget and things like that put forward, okay, that's an area where I look at them and go, hey, I got it. It's your job. You know what the numbers really are and so forth. You know, I may have a question about it, which you're entitled to have, but it's more their area of expertise, especially with how the system works. But when it comes to certain issues like this, I mean, you're going to tell me you have people on there that really knows how the system works and why things are there and why Hershey doesn't have the state championship, why it's a Cumberland Valley? I mean, come on. I mean, you're playing to a crowd at that point. It's like you don't really know what's going on,
and you know it. All of this could be stopped by them as well. Just a lot of the PIAA's defense for most of their actions is there's a law from 1972 that basically says if they do it for the public schools, they have to do it for the private schools. And when they did this competition formula, that I think most people expected. You know, they call them the non-boundary schools, you know, the Catholic schools to be penalized by it. And it's mostly been the public schools, and that's what upsets the fan bases.
You know what? I talked about this years ago. First of all, this move to six divisions, six classifications, it should have kept it at four and had two classifications for non-public schools, one large, one small. And that's what the six classifications should be.
And I don't disagree, but again, the PIAA says by that rule they cannot separate private or boundary and non-boundary schools. That the only people that can allow them to do that is the legislator. Legislature changes the law.
That's a cop out. I just gave the opportunity to charter and. And parochial schools to win state championships. Okay? You're not being excluded. You're in the state championship hunt. You're just in two different classifications. That's all. Out of six.
The other issue is most of these people on the oversight committee and who are involved in this stuff in the Senate are non-boundary and private school people that graduated for them, and they don't agree with you. That's the issue.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. I pay their salary.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, somebody's the employer, somebody's the employee. Let's never forget that. You never should forget that. Who's the employer? You. And who's the employee? Them. Not the other way around. But, you know, they can be from that school all they want, but... If you don't want to sit there and examine common sense solutions, you know, because that's a common sense solution.
And they don't, because we've been having this argument with, you know, for 25 years.
I know. Well, I'm just, you know, and look, I'm not deeply involved in it. It's not like I have any dog. I have no dog in the hunt at all. Zero. I mean, you know, my kids have long graduated from high school. They've long graduated from college, right? So, I mean, do you think I wake up every day and go, gee, I wonder if Bethlehem Catholic is going to be able to beat Southern Columbia? I'm like, I'm interested, but I'm not really, you know, I have nothing invested in it. I'm as neutral gets. I'm more concerned about, you know, who's eligible to be recruited from them. You know, but that's just me. I mean, that's, you know, again, I have no dog in the hunt. None. Where the state championship game is, I don't care. I mean, the people in Altoona have been upset about it for years that they lost it. Okay? They had it for a couple of years at Mansion Park. And, you know, I hear these issues come up, and for the most part, I'm like, okay. That's why when you talk about it, I deeply listen to it. You get what you're talking about. I'm not going to be a person that sits here and has the depth of knowledge to talk about it and do it in such a way where I'm going to have solutions to it because I don't know enough about it. But I'm just saying from a common sense point of view, six divisions, right? Charter, parochial, four others. Everybody gets a state championship. A lot of people get to go home happy, and we go from there. What's the difference between the state championship of winning for Trinity and the state championship for Southern Columbia? They're both state champions, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Probably the same parade.
Well, Southern Columbia knows how to throw one. They've done it a lot.
Well, this is true. Hey, Trinity has plenty of state titles in basketball. They know what they're
doing,
too. Yes,
oh,
they do.
Oh, no. No, Mike Walker.
Mike Walker
played at Penn State. All right, believe me, I got connections. Okay, I'm all connected. All right, but never forget who the employer is and who the employee is. Okay, yeah. Sometimes that's forgotten. Now that part I do know and have always felt very strongly about. Right, you know I feel I'm like going, yeah, okay, and. My taxes go where? So, okay. To, like, isn't there a pool that, like, what company do you work for? Oh, you work for the state. Oh. I'm trying to think where the state money comes from. Let me look at my neighborhood. Well, there appear to be a lot of contributors. All right. So, okay. Politicians say when I talk about that stuff. Sorry. That's actually a fact. We'll come back with more in a moment. Wonder what McGranahan would think about all this. What do you think McGranahan would think?
You know what's funny? I've heard that name my whole life, you know, living around here. I've never actually met Joe McGranahan.
You never met Joe?
Nope.
Joe is one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. Doesn't matter whether you agree with his politics or not. Okay, because everybody has disagreements. So, you know, I'm always willing to listen to anybody, right? But Joe's just a great guy. Todd, you get along with Joe in a heartbeat. He's just a good dude. So, no, we're lucky we have him. Now, the guy in the corner office, I know you snicker. Just remember, you'll be sitting one over from him tonight.
I'm prepared.
How can one be for that? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Jones.
Ah, Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury. Say you're having a political discussion. Brewers Outlet could be your bailout. There you go. Or if you just want to enjoy the games this weekend. Penn State, Minnesota tomorrow. Ravens, Chiefs Sunday. 49ers, Lions Sunday. Just kick back and enjoy. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I will give you one story about politicians, if you don't mind.
I do not.
And it's a nice story, by the way. As you know, Mike Rhodes' dad, Jim Rhodes, was one of the giants in the state Senate for decades. In fact, I think when he passed, I think he was the second tenured behind Stuart Greenleaf, I believe. Well, one day at a football practice in the early to mid-2000s, James Rhodes and Mike Opaque, and Jim was a Republican and Mike was a Democrat, and unfortunately, neither one of them are still with us. And they came to a practice, and Joe Paterno comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second, Steve?" I said, "Sure." He says, "We got a couple of state senators here today." He says, "I got to go out, obviously." Yeah. I said, "Yeah, you have to work." He says, "Yeah." He says, "Could you just kind of hang with them a little bit, just to kind of keep them company on the sideline, you know, make sure they know when they're supposed to move out of the way, whatever, you know?" I said, "Sure, I can do that. That's fine." So I spent, and they didn't spend the entire practice there. So as part of this, I'm just standing there, and it's me, the two guys, and they're two really nice guys. Okay, really nice guys. Couldn't say enough nice things about just guys talking. We're talking football. Jim Rhodes knew his football. Oh, Jim Rhodes knew his football. And I've told Mike this. And Mike, or it's something Mike already knew, but it's always nice to hear something about your father that you already knew. You know. And so did Mike Opaque. So finally I got around to the point where I said, "Let me ask you guys something." I said, "We've talked about football and my job," because they were asking about my job and so forth. I said, "Let me ask you about your job for a second." I said, "It's a very simple question. What don't you like about your job, and what do you love about your job that makes you go to work every day?" Right? And the answer that each gave told me everything about them as people. What neither one of them liked was the politicking, the bickering, the back and forth, the idea of making deals, things like that. They didn't want to deal with the politics of it. You know what they loved to do that meant so much to them? When an individual came to them with a problem and they could solve it. They both said that. I'm not talking about attorney. I've told Mike this story, so Mike knows the story. Mike Rhodes. When they could help somebody, they come to the office and they had a problem and they could help solve the problem for that person, that was like a slice of gold to them. So just remember, we can't always paint with a broad brush. Remember that story. That was them as people and the kind of people they happened to be. And one was a Democrat, one was a Republican, right? Didn't matter about party. They cared about, could they help somebody along the way? All the stuff that is talked about on the news all the time and this and blah, 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 blah. It was a turnoff to both of them, but the ability to help somebody was the driving force for them to go to work every day. So
I kind of feel like sometimes politics is like sports in the sense that I think those people get along a little better than most people think, kind of like high school rivalries. You know, you think the rivals hate each other, and the kids know each other, and the kids are usually friends. The rivalries are usually for the parents and the graduates more than they are than the kids currently participating.
Well, no, I've been to Ohio State, Michigan. That's not completely true.
I said high school.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That was just a joke, okay? That was a joke. I couldn't help it, all right? Couldn't help it. But, yeah. All right. But, you know, I just found that to be, that's a story that humanizes people, right? So, all right. Kayshon Booty case, the former LSU wide receiver who's now with the Patriots, is something that's very interesting. This deals with gambling. Okay? And I don't, again, this goes back to do not sit there and tell me, well, they're not explaining the rules well enough to the players. Au contraire, mon frère, they are. Because Kayshon Booty played at LSU. Good player. Not a great player. Good player. Right? Is been arrested and has posted bond over illegal sports betting while playing at LSU. The Louisiana State Police said the charges against Booty, who's 21, included a felony count of computer fraud and a misdemeanor count of gambling prohibited for persons under the age of 21. Now, the investigation is still going on. They say between April 6, 2022 and May 7, 2023, when he was 20 years old, Booty allegedly used an alias to get around the age requirement for placing sports wagers in Louisiana. Over here in the back, that means he knew the rules. If you're using an alias to get around it, that means you have been told the rules and obviously understand it. They say that they believe he placed more than 8,900 wagers, and at least 17 of them were on NCAA football games, at least 6 involved LSU, and 2 were on himself. When they played Florida State in the opening game a year ago, this is the one where Florida State missed the extra point at the end and LSU won. He placed 2 wagers on himself, it is alleged. One was that he would get to 82.5 yards receiving in the game, and the other one was that he would score a touchdown in the game. He ended up with 20 yards receiving in the game and no touchdowns, so he didn't win either one. And they say that LSU was made aware of the allegations, right? Said they have fully cooperated with all the relevant authorities involved in the investigation and so forth. But again, this does not come down to, gee, maybe they don't explain it well enough, not maybe it's not drilled into them well enough. Okay, what did we say about the Iowa allegations and the Iowa State allegations? What happened each time? Each time an alias was used by the person to allege to have participated, which means they knew the rules. They weren't naively out there throwing their name out there. They knew the rule. Based on this story, the story says, essentially tells us he knew the rule. He knew the rule. He's an interesting player because every time I'd watch an LSU game, which would be a couple times a year. I'm not going to pretend and say I watch the entire LSU schedule. Of course not. But a couple times a year. Yeah, or there'd be a tape, like Penn State played Arkansas. One of them was LSU. You know, things like that. He was always brought up as the guy, the guy, the guy. And then I'd watch the game. And when it was over, I'm like, okay, what am I missing? I don't get it. He ended up being a 6th-round pick by the Patriots. He played just 5 games this year. He had 2 catches for 19 yards. But it's just another case where, yes, they know the rules. Yes, they understand the rules. That's why they're using an alias. That tells you they understand the rules. That means they get what they've been told. Thus, they figured out a way to attempt to circumvent it.
Have you seen the developments in the Iowa and Iowa State case this week?
I have not, so enlighten me, please.
It sounds like that they might get out of it because Iowa doesn't have state police. It's like an investigative service or something.
Yes.
And they did not use warrants or anything to get that stuff. They set up a geofence only around the Iowa locker room and the Iowa State locker room and got all that data illegally that the defense lawyers allege, and it sounds like the judges tending to agree with them, at least the stuff I was reading about it yesterday.
So in other words, there's a good chance they did it, but they're going to get it because of a technicality, they're going to get out of it?
Well, I mean, It essentially, they stole their data to get that information.
Which means they did it.
Which they did it. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt they did it.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that, like, you know, like...
They did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my point. So it's going to be a technicality. Yeah. All this stuff on investigating... okay. I will say this, that the people involved in gambling, I'm talking about who run it. Talk about the people who run it, okay? I will, and I've said this before, there seems to be a due diligence on their part that I respect, because the Louisiana Gambling Commission turned Booty in. And remember the Alabama baseball coach that was dismissed last spring? The bet was alleged to have been placed in Cincinnati at Great America Ballpark, which is nowhere near Tuscaloosa on my map. And that at least tells me there's at least somebody within the state organization that is doing due diligence. How about that?
The AP story I ran last in our paper today on Booty said that DraftKings actually turned him into the Louisiana investigative people to start to get it started.
See? Again, that, you know, now they're a business. Do they have to do that? No, but they're, you know what? They also know that being above board is critical to what they're doing, right?
Well, yeah, because this is only going to get worse. Let's be honest. I mean, there's going to be more and more gambling scandals as the years go on. It's so easy now.
Okay. Okay. Now, look. I thought we weren't gonna bring the suit into this.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Okay. Different story. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We call him Suit the Greek. That's our guy, getting it done. Will it get worse? That's a good question, Todd, because why is it that it appears, now we don't live in England, but why does it at least appear from the 30,000 foot level that they don't encounter many problems in a country that has the open gambling system they have, including kiosks in stadiums?
It's because when you give America something all at once, they take it all at once, and we've only been able to gamble off our phones for 5 or 6 years, and that's the gambling on sports and things in Britain's been ingrained in.
Right, and I think when it really is ingrained here, I think we're going to have this. I think there's a good chance it's going to end up being the same here. That's my point. I think it's the newness of it, you know, the freshness of it, because it doesn't appear that for the most part. In England, they don't seem to appear to have a lot of problems with it. And you're right, it's been ingrained for such a long period of time. I think that once we get to that point in this country, I think we'll feel the same way about it.
I guess my little argument against that is there's some at least quasi-amateur sports that are more ingrained in our culture that I think the college kids are going to have more problems than the professionals are is maybe a better point.
It's possible. I mean, because college sports in England are for the most part, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many, you know, regattas you can go to. Because you don't hear much about college soccer over. And I remember it being in Ireland for the UCF game. And I was talking to some students from college at Dublin. They happened to be at practice. There was 5 guys. 3 were from Ireland and 2 were from Scotland. These are the guys that wanted to meet Jack Ham. Oh, Jock Ham. I'm like, going, okay. Standing right there. No. Because they love the Steelers. So I asked them, I said, you know, what are your favorite sports? I said, you know, I said, you're here. I said, American football. They loved American football. And in Ireland, Gaelic football was probably number one. Irish hurling, which is a fun sport to watch, is number two. I said, well, what about soccer? And they said, nah, it's a distant third in this country. This is in Ireland. Right? And again, collegiately, because Penn State was practicing on the College of Dublin pitch, which they lined as a football field. They said, what about this? I said, how many people attend a soccer match here? They said, hardly anybody. I found that to be enlightening. You know, because you're talking about college sports in other countries. It just, like, just take that country. It was like, eh, no big deal. Because there's a lot of club sports there, and you're right. So there's exponentially more people involved in, because our college system of sports is different than anybody else's in the world. So you do make a really good point. Figure we go to a break on that because you feel good about yourself.
I was going to say, I'm going to make that my ringtone for my wife.
Yep. Nah, not even that's going to bill you. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. Everybody stand. Oh, sorry. Wrong one. Sweet Caroline. There we go. I think, isn't it Neil Diamond's birthday?
It was recently. Yeah, he's one of those people that I saw was still alive that I didn't realize was still alive.
Oh, jeez. I have a friend of mine. Like, you'd go to a party with this guy, and he always wanted to play Dead or Alive. Like, oh, jeez. He'd throw out names. Yeah, name. Dead, alive. Like, oh. Like, they'll always be like, okay. Really? Okay. I went along with it.
January 24th was Neil Diamond's birthday.
Oh, there you go, 2 days ago. Very nice. Good. Did he take the day off?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
I mean, because the suit does. I had never heard that before. Right? Now, of course, now I hear people doing it all the time. But... like, I'd be doing the show. He goes, well, I'm not on tomorrow. I go, why? He says, it's my birthday. I'm like, okay. You want to know how many games I've done on my birthday in my career? I mean, it's just like a whole bunch. I mean, I did one this year on my birthday, for goodness sakes.
I was going to say, I was raised in a family where birthdays aren't a big deal. You get a lot for Christmas, but you get a card for your birthday.
Yeah, that's my family. I got one memorable gift for my birthday once, and it was a bike when I was 8 years old. I'll never forget it. And it was raining like it was yesterday. But that's the only gift I got for my birthday. I went, whoa, hey, everything else is like, okay, fine. Nice. You know? But you're right. For us, Christmas was a big deal. My birthday? Nah. Kevin's birthday? Nah. We didn't do much of anything. Now I got people like, I can't work today. It's my birthday. I'm like going, okay. Great. Enjoy it.
Happy birthday.
That's great. We'll get back to you. Oh, geez, the suit. I always take advantage of the free stuff you can get on your birthday. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Go in with an entourage and announce at Dunkin' Donuts it's my birthday so you can get like a Boston cream?
There's a restaurant I always go to on my birthday that the discount is the percentage of your age. So, except you have to live to 100 to get it completely free, I guess.
All right. He's texting me something else here. Ooh, he misspelled resignation. Oh. So, just kidding. He says, free Grand Slam breakfast, free money at the casino.
He's not helping himself when you made fun of him for his gambling issues, is he?
Okay. Here. Can you take the music out for 1 second? Just 1 second. Me dropping my phone. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.